Turn with me to Luke chapter 3, if you will, please. Beginning with the first verse. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea in the regions of, never mind, and never mind, and never mind. Verse 2, while Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, and every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and is thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what should we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptized with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. The chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. With many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he would shut John up in prison. Let's pray. Father, let us learn from John the Baptist today, who came to prepare the way of the Lord. Lord, I ask that we would be prepared for Christ's coming, and that we would respond in the same way that those that went out into the wilderness to hear this wild man preaching, what shall we do? Father, I pray that our faith today would be more than ideals, more than platitudes, more than lofty thoughts, more than intellectual discussions. But we would respond by asking, what shall we do? That we would put our faith into action today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All of us kids are very excited about Christmas this week. I mean, really, it is a fascinating thing, and I shouldn't really pick on my kids as much as I do, but they pick on me all the time mercilessly. You just don't even know. You should pray for me. Really. Seriously. And most of you dads know what I'm talking about. But still at our house, Christmas is such a big deal. And we are such little kids. I mean, we will go through the exact same routines that we have done for a long time now. And you know, we're still go through. We still put out cookies and milk. Amen. Praise God, because we know. And I need to be careful today, don't I? I forgot I had not just adults in the room. Sorry. But we get up early. Lane and Lindy start texting somewhere about 4:30 in the morning. Do you think we can get Mom and Dad up yet? Still. And he's a college graduate now. Did you hear about that? There was a little girl that was just so excited about Christmas. And she just thought, how can I make this last? There's, you know the expression, there's nothing as over as Christmas. Because, man, there's all this ramp up. There's all of this anticipation. There's all of these hours that's put into this. And then it's over and there's this letdown. And this little girl said, I just don't want to feel that. I wish there was Christmas every single day. And the Christmas fairy granted her wish. She woke up on December 26th and it was still Christmas. And she was so excited and went through all the, you know, eating everything that you shouldn't eat and unwrapping her presents. And she woke up and the next day and it was Christmas again. And this happened every day, every day, every day until people became sick of Christmas. They were sick and tired of Christmas. They were tired. They were running out of money. They were buying presents. They weren't enjoying what they were receiving at all. They couldn't eat that much, you know, butter and cheese and sugar. Come on, somebody. I mean, you can do that for a season, but you can't do that forever. It's not sustainable. People became just so disgusted with Christmas. They were piling their presents up outside of their houses. They weren't even unwrapping them. And you know, this went on day after day. She said, I wish every day was Christmas for an entire year. It was Christmas every day. And then finally, December 26th came and it was over. And everybody was so, so relieved because they were just flat worn out. No, Christmas only needs to come once a year. For sure. But we need to be prepared. I love it that we're able to take an entire month almost just to prepare ourselves for Christ's coming. But you know, we can. We can make Christmas last. We can make it go on. There are ways that we can take this message. But I believe the answer is found by the one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist. I want you to think about John the Baptist a little bit. He's out away from town. He's out in the wilderness. And I think about all that we do concerning church today, how we make it as convenient as is possible. Because we know if we don't make it convenient enough, people will not come. If we don't have it at the right day, we don't have it at the right time, if we don't have the building at the right temperature, come on somebody, you know, let a projector, sad to say, we were at a funeral this week and this tremendous video was put together to honor the life of Michelle's uncle and it just didn't go well. And it just everybody's getting so irritated at the you know, computer glitch. It froze and the video didn't keep playing. And so even after lunchtime, we went in to try to watch it. And then the bulb blew out of the projector of this little church that we were in. And people were just, you could just see the disgust because people don't like to be inconvenienced anymore. I mean, everything needs to be instant. Everything needs to be there. Everything needs to work. I mean, John the Baptist wouldn't make a very good pastor today. He could not be successful in today's world at all. Come out into the wilderness. I mean, you're not even on a paved road. Come on, somebody. This isn't a good location for your church, John. And then he's not very welcoming. He is not a very welcoming pastor. He's not warm. He's not friendly. He doesn't shake hands. He doesn't talk to anybody out in the hallways. I mean, he is ignoring a lot of people. And as a matter of fact, when they show up, he said, why are you here? brood of vipers. He calls them a bunch of snakes. And people are just pierced in their hearts because, come on, down deep on the inside of us, don't we know things aren't really right? It looks great on the outside. We have all the correct wrappings. Everything looks pretty. But if I were to interview many of you today, I would know that there's things going desperately wrong in your world. As a matter of fact, we're starting into this Jesus Way series next Sunday because I really, truly believe in that many of us call ourselves Christians, and I'm not debating whether you are or you're not. But there's not a lot in our lives that's indicating much at all that we are true disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think that's where these people were. They knew their world was torn apart. They were invaded by a foreign government. They had soldiers from Rome, you know, keeping the peace in their streets. And they hear this preacher out in the wilderness, and his message is repent. His message wasn't, it's the foreigners that's the problem. His message wasn't that this world needs to straighten up and fly right. His message was what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I believe on this last Sunday of Advent, as we're preparing our hearts for the Lord, I can hear John the Baptist say to us, repent. We need some changes in our lives because many of us are just out of control. Many of us are living for ourselves. We are so selfish and so self-interested, and Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If we're going to take this seriously, preparing ourselves for Christ's coming, then I want us to hear this message, repent, completely change the way that you're living your life, a change that will be noticed by other people, that everything that we do now would be done out of love for God and love for other people. And as in John's day, I sense some of you are offended. Why can't you just preach a nice Christmas message like other preachers? Why couldn't you just make us feel good today? We're sons of Abraham. We're okay. John says, don't call yourselves sons of Abraham. God could raise up sons of Abraham from the rocks if he needed to. I can't tell us we're okay when we're not okay. Okay? That'd make me a false prophet. Because I don't think we're all that okay in the church world right now. I just think people are going through the motions. And I was overwhelmed with the music this morning, weren't you? But I don't want to just give Jesus my heart, my emotions. I don't want just the feel good. Something in me says, what must I do about this? What must I do? John gave them a very severe answer. These guys said, you can't be talking about us. Here, we're in church this morning. John said basically three things to the people that came to him. He said, do works that are worthy, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Number one, he said, give out of your excess and your abundance. If you have two, that's more than enough. Because somebody doesn't have anything. If If you have one, that'll be enough for you. Now give the other one to somebody else. Then he said, conduct your business in a way that glorifies God and reflects then the image of Christ. That's the way I would summarize it. Conduct your business in a way that would not take advantage of anybody. Then he said, use your positions to the soldiers to bless and help other people, not to intimidate or serve your own interests. We prepare for Christ's coming. This preparation then involves self-sacrifice and generosity. Bear fruits worthy of your repentance. This new life, if our life has really changed, this inward change then would show itself in acts of love, kindness, and generosity. We'll do this again next year. Last Wednesday, instead of coming in and having one more Bible study, one more prayer meeting, just to learn more stuff, we piled in vans, rented vans, and went out to the nursing homes. Why? We need to bear fruits worthy of our repentance. If there's anybody forgotten in our community, it's there. And to be honest, it's not my thing either. Ask Michelle, I'm the most awkward person in a nursing home you've ever met. I like freeze up. We used to go visit this lady in our church. She was the grandmother of one of our church members in our little church in North Carolina. And we'd go and I'd sit there and stare. And Michelle would elbow me like, say something. Like, hi, Grandma. I mean, I don't know what this, I don't know. But as we began to sing and as others were more comfortable, it helped my comfort level. And we were singing and some would come out and join us. Others were so grateful that they would be singing on their beds. We did get one door slammed, but we weren't the best singers. No offense to my group at all. You've heard better caroling. But one of my former school teachers was in the Alzheimer's unit of the nursing home. And I saw the name on the door. I thought, I wonder if that's her. And sure enough, it was. And she was awake. And I went into the room and won't say her name. I just called her by Mrs. Mrs. So-and-so, and I said, I'm Stan Saunders. She said, I know. So I caught her at a good moment. She probably doesn't remember I was there now, but she said, oh yeah, I know who you are, and you have those two very handsome sons, and you have two daughters. And I said, yeah, and I have a grandchild now. And she was glad to know that. But isn't that what John said? Let's do works that are worthy. Let's bear fruit that's worthy of our repentance, because it's not all about me. In fact, it's not about me at all if you follow Jesus. It's about other people. That's one very simple thing that we did, but that's a new tradition. So you know, help me out, and let's rent about twice as many vans next year. Maybe we could find other places to go and be a blessing. Like, Christmas isn't about, am I going to get my favorite thing? I've been teasing Michelle, and she's been teasing me back. I said, there's something under there that you don't even know what it is. She said, but I gave you a list. Why would you get something that's not on the list? Because I know I'm going to like that stuff. I'm picking on Michelle a little bit, you know. I said, because it's fun for me. And you know she's just teasing. And you know it's not about, I'm going to be so disappointed if I don't get X this year. Are you kidding me? John the Baptist was the one preparing the way for the Lord's coming. And he said, those of us that have way too much ought to be giving it away. And those of us that have positions of influence and authority and power, we ought to be using those to be a blessing, not just amassing more for ourselves. Let's do works. Let's bear fruit that's worthy of our repentance. Albert Outler said this, "The world hears the gospel when they see it." Todd and Lisa wanted to do something different one Christmas. Each year they always bought each other very expensive gifts. They reached the point in their lives where they really didn't need or want one more gift. So they decided not to exchange gifts this Christmas. Instead, they went shopping for the homeless. They bought over 100 gifts. They spent over $1,000. And it was the best Christmas ever for them. They bought coats and ski pants and thermal socks and boots, gloves. And they went and distributed them. They said shopping had never been so much fun in all of their life. They experienced such joy that they had never felt before that Lisa said, "Next year, my husband and I, we're going to celebrate Christmas twice. The first time will be in July. And then we'll do it again at Christmas time." Todd said that the joy of giving is rewarding beyond belief. And the need is always there. The world hears the gospel when it sees it. That's what John the Baptist meant when he said, "Do those things that will show that you turned from your sins." Could it be that the joy that we're longing for in this season is somehow connected with repentance? That joy and repentance are two sides of the same coin. Let me say it this way. Lots of people can quote to me, and you'll know that if I said, "The thief comes to not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly." How many of you might believe that the abundant life, that the flip side of that coin, might have something to do with being an authentic Christ follower? That might have something to do with bearing fruits that are worthy of our repentance? That the abundant life that Jesus came somehow is connected with really truly being a follower of Jesus, which means emptying myself of all the selfish, self-interested, you know, self-gratifying consumerism Christianity that we thought was going to make it one more book, one more Bible study. Come on, somebody. Maybe the abundant life is somehow tied to being a Christian. Going out and practicing our Christianity in acts of love and service and sacrifice, benefiting the community and the world around us. Can I get a great big amen to that this morning? John 3, they came to John, verse 26, and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing, and they're all going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to him by heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, and the friends of the bridegroom who stand and hear rejoice greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." And John said something that I want you to go home with. If you don't remember anything else that I say today, I want you to remember this line. John 3, verse 30. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. Father, I pray that each one of us examine our lives today. And be honest in our appraisal of our lives. Are our lives bearing fruit that's worthy of our repentance, that's worthy of our following Jesus? And in this season where we're preparing ourselves for your coming, Father, we look in our hearts and we look at our actions and we look at our checkbook and we look at our calendar. Has our life been spent in blessing other people? We're reminded today that to whom much is given, then much is required of us. And we truly say that we've been blessed of God. And Lord, we say that we've been blessed to be a blessing. And may the world hear the gospel through the actions of this church family. I pray in Jesus' name. And if there's any person here today that's never called on the name of the Lord Jesus and received everlasting life, Father, I pray that they do not leave this building until they call on your name and that you come into their life. Forgive them of their sins and make them part of your family. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you do want to give your heart to Jesus today, but not only your heart, but your entire life, then we'll be up here to pray with you at the conclusion of the service. Would you stand up to your feet? And I want to bless you on your way out the door today. Receive this from God. May the Lord bless us and protect us from evil. Bring us to everlasting life. Amen. God bless you and Merry Christmas.